Hello, mate.
How to do?
Yeah, not bad, man. How are you?
Good. Yeah, all right, thank you.
Good.
Can you hear me all right?
Yeah. Better than normal, actually.
Good. Yeah, I'm you. I bought a mic, so I'm just seeing how that works.
Yeah, boy.
This nice little fellow.
Oh, that's actually really nice. Hold on.
Yeah, thank you. So hopefully that will increase my audio or make it better, sorry.
Do you want to name what it is to plug some see if you can get some money off
Yeah, let's have a look. Yeah.
it? Brilliant. Brilliant. Just bought it, see if it works. Smashed
It
it.
was on offer over Black Friday, so
Oh, it's worth it really, doesn't it?
it was half price.
You know what? Talking about Black Friday.
Yeah.
So I was reading this week, because obviously we've just had Black Friday last week. So I was reading about Black Friday deals, and this year and last year especially, they were monitoring this. It was like Money Saving Expert, but it wasn't them, it was someone else that was monitoring
Right.
the prices of these things that for the last couple of years have been on Black Friday discounts and things. Yeah, so they thought they'd have a look at them,
Oh,
and
yeah.
there was something like 80% of all Black Friday deals were the same price at some other point during the year. That's mad, isn't it?
Yeah.
Unbelievable. I mean,
100%.
things when they're like 50% off, you can't go wrong with it. Do you know what I mean? You can't argue that it
Yeah.
would have been cheaper. But when you get things like the TVs, where they're like 300 quid Black Friday, but they're like
Yeah.
400 normal. But if you looked at it 3 months ago, it was 300 quid. You lost your damn minds. We thought we were getting a bargain.
It's a classic. It's a classic thing. It's like DFS always have a sale on.
Yeah.
Actually, what they do is just like sell certain stock online, which they don't sell in store, and they sell that at full price, and then they swap out the stuff in store for the stuff that's was full price and make it like on the sale. So they never actually make a loss. They
Yeah.
just don't sell anything at a price that isn't discounted because that's the price it would be, but they can get away with it because they are selling it. So some fool might be in autumn buying that divan and sofa set, but online, but no one actually does that online, do they? No one buys a sofa online. That's
Surely not.
utter madness.
Surely, you know that the years of fucking testing sofas and doing this, bouncing on it and
Yeah.
you know, oh, this one's nice. And you think, you know, you sat on it for about 14 minutes, Mildred. Do you know what I mean? Like, you got to test it. You got to rock the fucking thing. You got to get a cat to be sick on it and see how easy it is to clean. Go on. You know
Yeah, that's right.
what I
Yeah,
mean?
you're great. Supply your own cat for a start.
Yeah. Bringing that
Cat
along. Are we
not
going
included.
sofa shopping? Get the cat.
And she had a lot of milk. Good.
Good.
Right.
Yeah. Feed her more, for
Yeah.
fuck's sake. Force it down her
Yeah.
quick. Bring that pipette with you.
We'll have a little look. Have a shift here at what diarrhea looks like when you
Brilliant.
get out of the
Try
sofa.
and give her a colonic on the sofa. That is awful.
Oh.
Well done. Well done. Taking a turn for the worst immediately.
And yeah, immediately it's spam. But we don't. I mean, I don't know. I don't think my parents have ever bought a brand new sofa set. I know my mum always said she'd like one time in her life would like to buy a new sofa set, but it's stupid because you pay £12,000 or something for like a brand new sofa and armchairs and the rest of it. I mean, I've got some wingback leather armchairs downstairs that I picked up for free
Very
from a
good.
chap who was moving and didn't
Foolish
need
enough to
them,
give
and it
them
was.
away.
Yeah, it was something stupid. Like he couldn't sell them because they had accidentally removed the fire safety tags on it or something, and
Brilliant.
he couldn't sell them to a dealer, and he needed to move. So he just thought, you good lad, you
Give
can
them
have
away.
them. And
Wow.
they're like £1,000 a chair, though. So I mean, like, it's like,
Wow.
yeah, it's madness. So
Just sew
utter
another tag.
madness, man.
Sew any old shit in it. Get one out of a
Yeah.
Primark jumper. Sew that
I
in.
can print
Yeah.
one out. Print one out.
Sorry, this one says that the sofa is washable at 40 degrees.
This one says it was made in Bangladesh. Sorry?
Oh,
Do not iron.
man.
I
Yeah.
wasn't thinking of
Due to
ironing a
spontaneous
leather.
combustion. And
Yeah.
there she is, stretching it over the fucking ironing board, trying to get the creases out of it.
Oh, fuck. Well, that's my Wednesday and
Unbelievable.
gone.
Yeah,
I was planning on giving the sofa a good ironing.
yeah. Yeah. Brilliant.
Honestly. Oh, you know what? That reminds me of I remember we bought well, we went down to look at some sofas when we moved into this place. We were looking at like this one chair set from like a charity shop, because we got rid of our old ones because they were battered. So we went down to the charity shop, had a look at a few, didn't see any we liked. But I remember seeing this one, which it was a set of like a sofa and two chairs. And what they're done at British Heart Foundation, other charities are available. They had covered over this one chair with a blanket, and I thought, well,
Classic.
that's a bit odd. Why cover over this one chair? And so I looked under the blanket and I
Had a
thought,
peek.
I can't see anything different. But then I stepped back and I realized that whilst the other two sofas were like this kind of creamy color, this one chair was absolutely like a more yellowish cream,
Smoke
right?
coloured. What were you trying to
Yeah,
say?
like ni basically nicotine stained leather. And I was like, how much do you have to smoke? And also, why is it just this one chair? Was this one chair in one room and that was a smoking room? Like, that's all he did in that room was smoke. And also, the amount, like, how yellow it was actually when you step back out of the shadow, you thought, fuck me. The rest of that room must have looked like something from Willy Wonka's Paradise. It must have looked like one of the wallpapers, like, peeling off the yellow at the back. Oh,
Oh
dear.
man, you
It's
imagine.
hilarious.
I do you know what? I just thought, how posh have you got to be to have a smoking room? Can you imagine?
Oh yeah, no, yeah. Or
Like,
well,
don't.
well, yeah. Either that, or
I'm just going to the
how much
smoking
do you not
room.
have to care? Yeah.
Well,
Well, that's it. I mean, that's why they had smoking jackets and things, so that the rest of your clothes wouldn't stink of ash. So
Makes sense.
you put that on, have a smoke, take it off, and you go kiss your wife and hit your children.
Yeah, well,
You know,
classic, classic.
or the other way around. That's what's probably the case.
Why not? One of them's going to be crying.
Or both.
Hopefully. Give me another
Yeah.
can of Stella, you little shit.
Anyway, how have you been, man?
Yeah, man. Yeah. All right. It's getting towards Christmas, so I've got to be, haven't
Yeah.
I? Do you want to see? Look, very
Oh, that's
festive,
nice.
isn't it? A lovely big
Got
tree.
that up early, didn't you? Well done,
Do
yeah.
you know? So, because we got these fucking idiot little cats, we can only decorate
Yeah.
a quarter of the tree. So, sorry, we can only decorate the top half of the tree because they can't reach that bit. But because this flat is so small, we can only fold out half of the tree anyway. So we've actually got a quarter of a tree that's decorated. Yeah, it's actually quite depressing, to be honest. I mean, I hate Christmas at the best of times, but this, do you know what I mean? Looking at that, turning around and looking at that and thinking, what have I done? What has happened
Yeah,
here?
what's
I mean,
the point there? What's
and
the
you know,
point?
the other problem is the cats love, I mean, as soon as it goes up, they think, well, this is something we can rip down, isn't it? So they're climbing it like King
Yeah.
Kong. Do you know what I mean? They
Yeah,
get to the
yeah,
top of it and they're just shaking the star. They're fucking hitting the other one. Oh, it's just ridiculous. And then the tree comes down and they both come into the bedroom like something's happened out
Oh.
there and I'm not sure who
Yeah,
did it. You know what I mean?
our play toy's gone. Can you put it back up, please?
Absolutely wash my balls of it. I don't know what's happened.
Yeah.
Mess. Did I tell you about this interview I watched the other day with this woman? Well, it was a couple of weeks ago now with this woman in government. And she was trying so hard, bless her, to dig herself out of a hole that she'd already made pre-interview.
Oh, yes.
And she'd started going, the woman on the news program had started asking her about, do you think it's fair that you're giving all this money and all this help to rich people and not the poor people? And she was trying to say, what she was trying to say was, if you help the rich, it trickles down and helps the poor. Them's the rules.
Yes,
But
that's
what she
trickle
said,
down economics, yeah.
was, if you had a garden, you wouldn't water the weeds, would you? Fucking hell.
Oh,
You
fuck
can't
me.
call 50% of the population weeds. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, dear,
And
that's
then she
bad.
was trying to say, and then she tried to backpedal live television, going, I don't mean that they're weeds. I just mean if you had lovely plants, you wouldn't want lots of weeds growing over the top of enough. Just stop. You know when you feel like you want to swallow yourself up watching it. It's so
Yeah, it's
creepy.
just painful to watch it.
It didn't come across properly. Do you know what I mean? Like she was trying to explain herself, but she actually shot herself in the ass quite terribly.
Yeah.
It was just funny, man. Like there was no need for it. But it was one of them. I mean,
That's harsh.
you think if you were going on live television and you're in the government of any sort, someone would have prepped you on these questions prior to going on.
Well, they meant to. He meant to know the lines.
That's what I mean.
Do you remember who it was?
I've no idea at all. I mean, it was like a home interview sort of job. Do you know what I mean? It was on, like I said, it was on live
Right,
news, live
okay.
television. But
Was she a government minister, or was she just a civil servant?
I don't know. Maybe she was just a civil servant. I don't know. But the grunts.
That's outrageous. That's just not good, is it? I mean, that's the thing, right? So, I'm sure you have as well. If you watch enough of the news over your lifetime, you watch enough of, well, just of TV in general, actually, but especially live TV, you get to know what you shouldn't do and what you should do when you're being interviewed on live television, whether or not you're just a bystander to some robbery or you know, the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom. And I think that one thing you should just always stray away from, unless you're quoting someone much more intelligent than you. Right, so unless I'm quoting Shakespeare or I'm quoting someone like this, just don't give an analogy. Just don't use
Totally agree
analogies.
with you,
Don't
because it will
use allegories.
backfire no matter what.
It doesn't matter that the person at home will, you know, look at that and they'll jump on that. Or the you know, whoever shifty goblin is interviewing you will jump on that analogy and rip you to shreds. Just fucking don't use analogies, allegories. Maybe you can use a metaphor or an idiom, but only if it's well known and it's not some sort of marker of your poshness. Like if you start talking about just like Nanny would have had, right, which is what Jacob Rees-Mogg's done with that. It's like, yes, that's an idiom that may have made a lot of sense in the Victorian era. Okay. But we don't all live in like that
We've
anymore.
not
So
all got
they just stray
nannies.
away from that. Just stay on. I mean, this is what Boris Johnson does so well. He manages to make his speeches incredibly interesting, eloquent, and uses a lot of references to classical literature and dialogue in much the same way as Churchill used to, right? But he doesn't use analogies, allegories, or illustrations which will tie him up in knots. Just say what you mean. Those kinds of things, they just muddy the water. So my point is just that. I mean, Churchill's speeches were far better than Boris Johnson's, but one of the things that Churchill didn't really do was rely on analogies, and he would rely on stories from history, which is what Boris does. That is always better. People tend to use analogies and allegories and metaphors and idioms and things as a clutch when they've run out of things to say and they're looking for something bright and sparkly to kind of like round off their point, right? But unless you're a very talented orator or rhetorician, which the vast majority of politicians, alone the vast majority of the British public, just are not, you know, because you have to have a. But there, for instance, there are plenty of nil. So nil desperandum is a concept in classic. There are plenty of. It basically just means this: there are loads of things that people have said over the years, right, in a foreign language, which you can quote and use as a conceptual reference. So something like "ars gratis ars," so art for art's sake, right? Or things like, or persona non grata. You use those kinds of things, but the truth is, just say it how it is. If you want to write a novel, or you want to write something really eloquent, do that. But never do it on live television,
No,
right?
you
Just
don't dance
don't.
around what you're trying to say because it'll make it 100 times worse. It's a point in that. I mean, the other side of that is that people watching it can then take away from it and go and spend hours trawling through, you know what I mean, like trying to make their own flip side of it, as it were, and then come back on the news or in the papers or whatever and just rinse someone and just it's completely misquoted, completely out of context, like.
And you take the focus away from what you're really trying to say. I mean, I've seen plenty of times where someone has said, "Oh yes, much like this person and this time, we're going to do this," and then some clever sod in The Guardian normally, or BuzzFeed News, or some other Huffington Post has gone away and said, "This man quoted this man who endorsed slavery in this letter to his wife in 1824."
I had a
I don't know.
conversation with a woman the other day, a little Scottish lady, And to be honest with you, the first 5 minutes, I didn't have a clue what she was saying. It was such a
Really?
thick accent that it literally could have been anything. Do you know what I mean? Like, she could just have been
Well,
singing
where,
me a
yeah,
fucking
okay.
song.
Well,
I've no idea.
where, what part of
This was in
Scotland is she from?
Essex. This was in Essex.
Oh,
It was
fuck.
in a Buckhurst Hill.
Right,
So
yeah.
I'd gone there because I had a no. Do you know what had happened is that she'd actually like whistled to me down the road and then sort of beckoned me over, and I thought like, well, I'm already a dog, am I? Brilliant, just a lackey. So I've gone over there and I said, "You all right, my love?" And she started trying to ask me about, can I use the old stamps? And I said, you can use them till the end of December. She started going off about her son's a postman. He lives around the corner. Turns out I actually post to him, and I know him because he works in the
Oh,
office. I haven't had a conversation with him about this because I don't really know how to bring it up. But she started talking to me about, she gave me these letters. I said, I'll take them to the post, but I'll deliver, I'll take them back to the office and we'll go from there.
yeah.
Like, it'd be quicker than you posting them. No problem. Then she started talking to me about, oh, there's a lot of them around here, isn't there? And I said, but I didn't know what she was talking about. So I just let her
Right,
carry on.
yeah.
And before you know it, I was involved in a full conversation about how all the wrong uns have come to the UK and she's sick of
Oh,
it
good.
and she
Oh,
can't
good.
act living around it. And I thought, just move then. Do you know what I mean? If you're going to be a dick and you don't like, I've said this the other week, but if you're going to be, upset about multiculturalism, or you're not going to be happy that someone's got a different coloured skin to you or whatever, fucking don't live in London for a start. Nowhere near the place. Do you know what I mean? Don't put yourself. I know that you've lived there for, not you personally, this lady, say, she's lived there for a long time. But firstly, she's Scottish, so she's a migrant of such because she's come down here. You know what I mean, though? Like, if you're gonna, I mean, if you're gonna paint them all with the same brush, she can go back to her country. But she started, she just started going on and on, and I thought, Jesus, I know your son, and I really hope he's not got the same outlook. And if it's wife in the office, as it is out here, what a mess we live in. It was just unreal. It was one of them, when you're just trying to be friendly, and I didn't know what I'd got myself into, and it was too late, and I couldn't back
Yeah,
out
it's a
and
hard
say,
one, man.
this is not right, because I was already too far into the sauce. Do you know what I mean?
You also at the same time, you don't really want to. Well, you don't want to correct them because you don't have a right to correct them. It's not. You don't know what they've experienced. You don't know what they've been through, and you don't know, what kind of change they've seen happen. I think there's two things, isn't there? There's more than that, but
Just
on
the
face value, there are two kinds of complaints against multiculturalism or et cetera, et cetera. One of it comes from a place of just not liking change, which they see as adversely affecting
two.
them.
Which is everyone above the age of about 70 anyway.
Yeah, the other thing is ultimately seeing or observing change. And saying, well, it has pros and cons, and we shouldn't ignore the cons, right? So those are the two kinds of complaints I see people having against multicultural or against most things, really. But I would say this, that a bigger drain on society, and I mean this quite sincerely, a bigger drain, no, okay, not a bigger drain on society, putting aside the societal cultural change, bigger drain on the wallet of the government, on the public purse, is the aging population. But back in I think the 2001 census, 10% of the population were, or 11% of the population were over the age of 65, right? No, over the age of 70. Now, right, that number is 20%.
Is that just because we're
And
living
they,
longer, though? Med
oh yeah,
like,
no, it,
from
we
medicine and
are,
things.
part of the reason is you're living longer, but a hugely disproportionate amount of that of the public purse to do with health, welfare, and those kinds of things are spent on that 20%. And as the 20% grows to 25, 30%, or whatever, you have no source of you have no recourse. So you just have all of the money being spent on a smaller percent of the population who are predominantly much older. which is a much bigger drain on. See, I mean, that's I don't know what she was talking about specifically, but I always bring that point up when in the one or two occasions I've been caught in a conversation where I feel that the other person is genuinely just blindly hating people. You know,
Yeah.
oftentimes there's a legitimate concern. I mean, like my grandma, right, is a great example. I think I've talked to you about her before. She is a very welcoming person. In the 1950s and 60s, when my mum was growing up, she used to invite my grandpa's multicultural students, who were Iranian, African, those kinds of things, round for a meal.
Okay.
And loads of them keep in contact with her. And they all call her mother or mama or those kinds of terms
Yeah.
of respect in African and Eastern Asian countries or Middle Eastern countries, that kind of thing. Right? And this is a time when that was unheard of. You know, she was really progressive and judges no one on the color of their skin or their sexuality. Anyway, she really can't be progressive enough. However, there is an exception, and that's the Japanese.
Classic.
And just in general, hates them. Not with vitriol, but with a real personal affectedness. And that's because a lot of her, well, one of her brothers, but also a lot of her brother's friends either died in or were rescued from Japanese concentration camps, because where she
Okay.
went from the regiment that all those boys went to war happened to end up in Burma and places like that, or and
Yeah.
they happened to Japanese concentration camps. And the treatment that people received in Japanese concentration camps on the whole was a lot worse than you received in a German concentration camp, because the Japanese didn't care what race you were. If you weren't Japanese, you were getting the stick, right? You were
Yeah.
getting treated as bad, if not worse, than the Germans treated the Jews. So that's, you know, I mean, like, the Jews got exterminated. The people in Japanese concentration camps got cannibalized by the Japanese soldiers and that kind of thing. So
Good, is it?
that's like, yeah. So
Yeah, it
she,
makes
so
sense.
there's an extent, and whenever she talks about it, which is not very often, you have to sort of say, well, you know what? The good you've done in your life very much outweighs the fact that you are blind in this one aspect. And we all have our blind spots. And I'm sure when I get to that age, I'll have my blind spots. So I just hope that my grandchildren deal with me as kindly as I'm trying to deal with you.
Yeah, I think that's so. But I mean, it's a good way to look at it, because I think you're right. It's not as black and white as you're either racist or you're not, because things might have happened
That's
to
not.
you throughout your life that, you know, unfortunately might have augmented your view on a certain culture or a certain color or whatever. You know, you can't judge
Yeah,
everyone
yeah,
by the
yeah.
same, you know what I mean? You can't literally can't tar everyone with the same brush. Them's the rules.
Mm-hmm.
Been watching that telly again. So last week actually, I watched a series on Amazon Prime called The Devil's Hour. I don't know if you've heard of it.
Is this with the one with Peter Capaldi?
Yes. Yeah, Peter Capaldi and Jessica Raine.
Yeah, I haven't seen it,
It's a
but I have
very,
heard of it.
very good series. I highly recommend. 5 out of 5 stars.
All right.
So a little recap of what I've written about it. It's a psychological thriller. It's quite jumpy and suspenseful. There's a very, very odd boy. And when I say odd, I mean fucking weird, man. Like,
Okay,
some of the
good.
things he does, you think they're questionable for anyone to have written it, let alone to have acted
Right,
it out.
yeah.
Like, it's very, very strange.
Yeah.
It all comes together in the end, as a good series should, unless you're going to run a second series. But it's not possible with this. Well, it is, I suppose. But listen, it's up to the viewer's interpretation. It's sort of like reality bending. It's just chaos. Do you know what I mean? Like the whole way through, you think you know what's going on, and then at the end of it, you think, "Well, I didn't see that coming. Not one bit. That was weird." Do you know what I
Yeah.
mean?
Yeah.
Very good, very good. Yeah,
So what's it called again for the viewers at home?
it's called The Devil's Hour. It's
Devil's Hour.
I think it's 6 part or 8. I think it's 6 part series. So rinsed through that in a
Cool.
day. So that was good.
Sounds good, man. Yeah, I'll give that a. I put it on my list a while ago. I'll give it a well when
It
it came out, because
is
I saw the
really
headline.
worth watching.
I like anything that Peter Capaldi does.
I was going to say, I actually only wanted to watch it because Peter Capaldi was in it. And I watched him in the thick of it and I really enjoyed him. And then I watched him in Doctor Who and that was really good. So
Yeah.
anything with him in, I tend to watch. The same with Graham. He's a Liverpudlian lad. Graham something. I'm going to kick myself when I remember his name. but he's been in loads of things like This Is England. He did the thing about COVID not so long ago, and the guy that's not quite right in his head, and it was all about like the nurses and things like that. He's a really good actor. But anyway,
do you mean Stephen Graham?
Stephen Graham. There we go. What did I just say?
Oh no, you said Graham something.
Graham. So okay, Stephen Graham. Sorry, yeah.
Stephen Graham. Yeah.
Yeah. He's another one that anything that he's in, I'll watch because he's just such an interesting actor. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, he is good. Yeah.
He's the one that I said about before that he can't. Not, I don't know if he can't read or he can't read very well. So I think he does his read-throughs with his wife or something prior to going on set. But then he'll sort of ad-lib some of it. Do you know what I mean? So it's interesting to watch because you know for a fact that some of the stuff he's doing and saying wasn't written. Like he hasn't got a clue what it's meant to be. So it's good. But anyway, so The Devil's Hour. Very, very good. Like I said, I watched it a couple of weeks ago, so I can't actually remember much about it other than it's just odd, you know. I mean, it's one of those things. I would watch it again, but maybe not for another year or so. You know when you've watched a series a long time ago and then you come back to it and you think, yeah, this is why I liked it. It's so good. But you wouldn't You wouldn't watch it like within 6 months. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, yeah, I know what you mean. Peter Capaldi is, controversially, my favourite Doctor Who. I think he's the best one because he's the only one of them who convinces me he's been around for 1,000 years.
Mm.
Right, Matt Smith, David Tennant, they're both just too pretty. And although they're good at being angry or whatever it is, Peter Capaldi is the only one that I look at and who interacts with people like he has seen like centuries of death.
Mm.
Like he looks like he's seen it. Christopher Eccleston was just a blip, a very enjoyable blip.
I mean, yeah.
And obviously,
it's a shame that he was the first Doctor, but also not the first, you know, like the first of the new breed of reincarnations.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But equally, it was a nice little... The thing is, because David Tennant followed on from him,
yeah,
it sort of gave him even more of a good look, as it were. Do you know what I mean? Like, Christopher Eccleston was good, but when you have David Tennant follow on from you and do the job that he did, it was incredible. And you think, then you look at Christopher Eccleston and think, ah, it's a bit of a shit show, isn't it? A bit poor.
It was all right. Anyone who does something first can never do it best. So,
yeah, that's true.
The rest of the Doctors, my mum and dad grew up with, you know, all the way back to Patrick Troughton. You know, they had some brilliant things. But I don't know if you've watched any of the old Doctor Who episodes. I just... Like, there are some things which I can watch from the 50s, 40s, 60s, whatever, no problem because it's just real life or they're films or something, and that's really fun. But anything that relies heavily on special effects, I just...
It's painful.
Just can't
because
watch.
It's so dated. That's the issue.
The acting is always phenomenal. You know, like Patrick Troughton, phenomenal actor, but the, you know, the TARDIS and the Daleks look like utter shite. So
yeah,
it's a shame. It's a big shame. I'm not a good enough, detached enough critic of the arts to ignore that.
Yeah,
I do love like the acting. You know, but I mean, it's like with the old
extent, wasn't it? That's the thing.
There are exceptions, like the BBC production. I remember watching the 80s BBC production of The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe and The Silver Chair and that, like the series. I'm not sure if you're aware of them, but they were on when my dad was in his sort of early 20s and he loved them and that kind of thing. And they're dated, very much so, but they're also meant to be, you know, children's stories, so it's not quite so bad, but...
Yeah.
Doctor Who is one of those things I also don't care enough about sci-fi to watch through it, for honest.
Oh, mate. That's fair enough.
For sure.
So I remember when I first started watching Doctor Who, when it first got rebooted on BBC, and my dad, well, both my parents really, but my dad especially, he would always tell me that when he was watching it, when he was growing up, it was one of them, like, it was, at the time, it was so out there and scary that you'd be behind the sofa watching it, you know, like all of the family would be, parents included, grandparents, sorry, included, behind the sofa, all watching it, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, not literally, but you know what I mean. It's not a fucking like a family huddle behind there. Do you know what I mean? Is it finished yet? I think so. Go and have a look. I mean, but yeah, I mean, but watching it now, I mean, I covered it quite a bit at school in media, in like year 10 and 11, because we were because Doctor Who had just been rebooted sort of around that time. So it was a big comparison between then and now and what the differences are in the dynamics and the different, you know, like the female sidekicks, as it were, and things like that.
Wasn't it 2005 that the first series came out of the reboot?
Something like that. I've no idea, mate, to be honest.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we started covering it when David Tennant had started as the Doctor. Something like that. But anyway.
Anyway.
And it was interesting watching the older ones because, like you said, unfortunately, it's so painfully dated that with special effects, that you do think it's not even. I'm so detached from this that it's not interesting. It's not enjoyable. But watching the actors and things, I agree with you that, you know, they got some really quite fantastic actors and actresses on that. It's just, yeah, it's again, it's one of them things that you're right. I wouldn't happily sit there and watch them because I couldn't enjoy it the same as watching Only Fools and Horses. It's just a different.
No, no,
I know it's a completely different genre, but it's.
Well, that's it, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, it's the genre of comedy had been around in TV for a lot longer than the genre of science fiction by that point, and there were a lot of other things. And you know, relying on special effects in comedy, you're relying on real life, so.
Yeah.
Different parameters has to be judged differently, but yeah, the comedy from the 80s, 70s, 60s, anything, I can find it hilarious even now.
I mean, I think that they're more funny than newer programs.
So, I mean, even more so, any of the old stuff, I'd watch that any day. Like Dad's Army.
Oh, it's incredible.
Or, you know, Jeeves and Worcester or anything like that.
I loved Blackadder.
Blackadder. I mean, that's not even that old. I mean, the last Blackadder episode aired in 1999.
But it's old enough that for me, I feel like it's like my childhood. Do you know what I mean?
But that's my point. Like it's not that old, but in the grand scheme of things, it's so much more like the really old stuff than the newer stuff, and it's that kind of, you know,
the same sort of
buy point. Whereas the only recent comedy series in Britain anyway, which really made me belly laugh was Our Country.
Do you know, that was really funny. Do you know, I put off watching that for so long as well because I thought it's just going to be some naff nonsense. You know, I'm not with it at all. And I think I watched it actually over lockdown and it's possibly top 10. Like, it's so good.
Yeah, it's again one of those few occasions in recent years where the BBC has actually produced something really fantastic.
Yeah. Was it written by Daisy May Cooper? It was written by her and the fellow, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was both of them. It's because it went back to form. There were two people from Middle England who were writing about Middle England and pretending to be. They were people who came from the area who knew what it was like, and they were able to make fun of it. And that's what BBC comedy used to be. You know, people like David Jason writing Only Fools and Horses. He was writing about his people, that kind of thing. You know, that's when like Desmond, which is written about. Which is a series, I'm not sure if you've watched that, but that's a BBC series done by a Jamaican British national who had his parents come over on Windrush or something. Anyway, he was writing about Jamaican culture in London, and it's hilarious. But
the Desmonds with the barbershop,
The barbershop, that's the one.
Yeah, it was a good one.
But that's, again, you just make fun of that period and that culture, and because it's your period and your culture.
I mean, it's, you know, so one of Olivia's old lecturers from the college, Andy, I think, I can't remember the dude's name, but he writes a lot of plays for theatre companies around here. So he's quite well known in the business, but he teaches at the college 3 days a week or something like that. But he was trying to write a play for the college students or uni students, whatever, called it was at the, it was called Fresh, and it was him trying to write, but in, I mean, he's essentially trying out his ideas before he then writes a proper thing for,
Yeah.
you know, for proper theatres. But he was trying to explain that he's really bad at writing about things that he doesn't know, because it's so difficult to, you can't just gather
Yeah.
knowledge without being in the culture. But it's
Yeah.
exactly it, you know, like you can't, I don't think that you could write on someone else's behalf unless you know or are interviewing them at the time. Do you know what I mean? You can't, as a middle class white person, I couldn't write a play about African, you know, African Americans, because I've not got the cultural background of it or any knowledge of it. Why should I or why could I? Do you know what I mean? Why not give us a tweet? We're at 2 spoons_coffee.